Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 8th of July, recording at 10 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, let's have a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asia-Pacific markets were mostly lower. The only exceptions were New Zealand and some of the frontier markets. Now, and in the region, Japan down 1.4%, including the Hang Seng down 1.31%. Australia lower by 0.2%. And China, though, really had the biggest declines of all. For instance, the Shanghai Composite Index was down nearly 49 points, and that was 2.44%. And some big hits among the ASEAN indices, including 2.5% down for Thailand, Jakarta, Indonesia, down nearly 3.7%, and the Philippines down nearly 2.8%. Okay, what's going on there? Well, a concern over the currencies. The currencies have been soft really since Japan started to devalue its yen, and that's really not surprising. And the weakness of these currencies has led to a fair amount of profit taking in the markets mentioned. Not Japan, because Japan has still performed in U.S. dollars, showing good solid gains of over 15%, even after adjusting for the currency decline. But you can recall the script of the previous decade, when we had very strong Asian currencies overall, as well as those performing stock markets, and that attracted a lot of inward investment. And those people, or a number of those people, have been pulling out as the currencies for so many of these Asian economies have been weakening against the U.S. dollar. And much of that weakness, incidentally, has occurred over the last two or three months. Now, elsewhere in global stock markets, the European indices had some decent gains here today. German DAX up over 2%, almost as much for the Spanish IBEX, the Italian market up 1.7%. All of these gains are over 1% that I'm looking at, and that includes 1.17% for the UK FTSE index. Now, these European declines mostly offset some of the selling that we saw on Friday. So we're still ranging, but near some prior support in these with these patterns. Now, the United States, again, a bravura performance in here. And an index that I don't mention all that often, but it's certainly worthy of mention in here, is the Russell 2000. That's RTY, if you look at that in the chart library. And that's pushed to a new all-time high. So that's well ahead of the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ indices. And also, the bank indices remain firm. The S&P 500 Banks Index hit another new high, recovery high, in here today. The diversified financials that creates has a number of the largely big merchant banking trading houses. That's doing less well, but the performance is not too dissimilar from that of the Dow and the S&P overall. But Wall Street again is backed by the firm U.S. dollar, which looks the dollar looks a little bit overextended here in the short term, but it has been a safe haven at a time of uncertainty. It has been a magnet for investors who are able to avoid weak currencies and gain from the strength of both the U.S. dollar and the parallel performance, which is actually occurring on Wall Street. Now, elsewhere, Canada up 0.6 of a percent. Mexico and Brazil, however, saw some declines. The bigger one was Mexico, down 1.36%. Now, what about that surge in long-dated government bond yields that continued last week? As a matter of fact, on Friday, we had a huge move to the upside. Well, for the U.S. contracts, we gave up at least, at least 40% of Friday's move to the upside in yields. So yields backed off their most recent highs, and those government bond moves look overbought here in the short term, but they are also above what very clearly look like base formations here overall. And our feeling, which is mentioned many times, is that let's take U.S. 10-year yields, which are a little bit above 2.6%, and we would not be surprised at all to see those yields move up to 3.5%, 4% at some point, probably next year, and possibly higher overall. Elsewhere, of note, in the well, let's talk. Is there anything else to mention on those currencies? I should say that the Japanese yen is currently at 101 against the U.S. dollar, and in among the Europeans, the euro is a little bit steadier, but only up to 128.68, and sterling is also a little steadier, but that's still only at what's below the 150 at 149.49 against the U.S. dollar. So it's very much a story of U.S. dollar strength, matched by the Chinese renminbi, incidentally. That's the only Asian currency that I'm aware of that has not seen a significant weakening this year. Okay, what about the commodity markets? Well, we saw a firmer tone in the metals here today, and one hasn't been able to say that all that often, but there were some reasonably good gains here, whether on improving sentiment from very depressed levels or just a little bit of short covering by bears in that sector. The U.S. grains and beans are also a little firmer in here today, albeit from really quite depressed levels overall. The precious metals are also firmer. A decent day for palladium. It's currently trading at 696 and change. That's up over $19. Platinum also had a decent day, up over $33 to $13.60. Gold bullion currently up $14 at $12.37 and change, and silver up 30 cents to $19.04. But gold and silver, which have led the move to the downside, are still in very clear overall downward trends. They are certainly somewhat oversold, but there is the overhang of stale bull long positions, including that Paulson Gold Fund. So I think that any aggressive investment demand has no reason to go in at this stage right now. In other words, the markets are a lot cheaper. That makes them somewhat more attractive, but they still have that overhang of supply, which could limit upside over the near term. And technically, although oversold and it's a big move to the downside, there's no convincing evidence yet that we've seen more than a temporary low. So I think these markets are getting interesting, but I would stay the hand and not rush in here too early. And I do think it's too late to be selling short if you're thinking about playing the overall downward trends while they're still consistent. And other areas, the platinum and palladium have held up better than gold and silver, particularly the palladium, but it has a ranging pattern overall, which is choppy and difficult to predict beyond the very short term, and even difficult to predict on that basis. And platinum had a downward break not long ago from its trading range for the last couple of years, and it still hasn't rallied enough to make that a clear downside failure. And I think that's pretty much it. A few other moves just to comment on. Lumber, a little bit weaker. Crude oil, also a little bit weaker in here, but still relatively steady overall. It had quite a sharp rally over the two previous weeks, and the WTI is currently at 103, and the Brent is, and that's the more important contract, of course, that's currently at 107. Both WTI and Brent are overbought in the short term. I'd be surprised if they didn't come back, but they have yet to give a downward dynamic to indicate that selling pressure is appearing in that market. And on that note, folks, all the very best to all of you.